They would spend their lives draped in velvet if it were socially acceptable. This is Carpenter and Rothman.
All right, back at it. Ohio State football making that trek to Indy Saturday night against Bucky Badger, who they just flattened in the second half here at the Shoe. Bill Rabinowitz, Ohio State football beat writer for the Dispatch, is on the Bryant Heating Cooling Systems fan guest hotline. It's been too long. Bill, how are you?
I'm good, guys. How are you?
We're great. I saw the good news. Sean Wade is back. He's been cleared, from your understanding?
Yeah, the status report was released this morning, and he was not on it. And Ryan Day on his radio show on your fine station said that more or less yesterday, indicated that he would be back. And so that's a big boost for the secondary. First of all, he's a really good player. Secondly, it means they don't have to shuffle people, or, you know, different positions. Damon Arnett can play his normal outside spot and all that stuff. So, yeah, that's a big deal.
Bill, you covered this team with Urban Meyer. You know the legend that he is, but I'm curious, now that you've covered this team all year, what personality has Ryan Day injected into this team, and how do you feel it's kind of affected these guys and the result of what we've seen so far this year?
Yeah, I think there's an element of fun that maybe was lacking before, a little bit of looseness. I mean, Urban Meyer was such a hard-driving guy, and his idea of fun was just winning. And obviously it worked for him. He's a Hall of Fame coach. I think, though, after 7 years, the Ryan Day approach, and he's still very demanding. It's, you know, tough love is their motto. It's not like they've lessened up on that stuff. But I think there's an element of fun and just kind of relaxing a little bit in terms of just playing and not feeling like you're under a microscope quite as much. Not for, maybe overstating it, but I just kind of get the sense that they're just playing this year. Some of it, on defense especially, is they love the scheme, and they didn't last year.
So since you mentioned defense, Bill, Chase Young winning the Silver Football, first time in a number of years a defensive player has won it. I mean, there's only been a handful of players to win it, going back to the inception of the award since 1926, I believe, or 36, when Red Grange won the first one. I mean, what does that signify to you that with all the offensive talent in the Big Ten and even on Ohio State, that Chase Young took home that award?
Well, it just speaks to his dominance. I mean, you think about the first Wisconsin game, I think he had 4 sacks. It's rare that you, for me as a writer in the press box on deep, when Ohio State's on defense or any team, that I look at the defensive guy. Where's Chase Young on this play? Where is he lined up? That's what I do. That, to me, is like, you know, when you are that dominating as a defensive player, it's rare because you're not the quarterback. You're on the ball every play. But he is the focus of every offensive coordinator, and he's the first guy that quarterbacks look at and try to figure out, okay, where do I go on this play, knowing this is where Chase Young is likely to be. And, you know, even last week when he didn't have the stats, he still impacted that game. It was pretty clear that Michigan, you know, they were double-teaming him, they were chipping him, they were doing all kinds of stuff to minimize him. Well, that opened it up for a lot of other guys.
Bill Rabinowitz with us, covering Ohio State football for the Columbus Dispatch. He's on the Bryant Heating Cooling Systems fan guest hotline. They're a huge favorite Saturday night, as they should be. They've met every hurdle this year. And even though they didn't play to their best against Penn State, they still won by 11. And they certainly didn't look dominant early against Michigan, but eventually the cream would rise, and they're just a much better team. Now that we're kind of in this position, what is the ideal pathway for them? What would you like to see? I mean, one seed against Utah and then play LSU in the final, or would you prefer to see Clemson in the title game? Give me your opinion on that.
Well, it'd be fun for Ohio State to play LSU at some point in the Joe Burrow angle. I mean, that'd be great, whether it's the semifinal or the final. The final's more likely unless Georgia were to beat LSU. If that happens, I think you're probably looking at Ohio State, LSU, and Arizona, because I would guess that Clemson would play Georgia in Atlanta. But it's, you know, there's still too much speculation. I mean, I think Utah probably has the inside track because I expect LSU to beat Georgia. Not a sure thing, but LSU's favorite for a reason. If that's the case, and if Utah beats Oregon, then Utah, I think, has a pretty strong case. Now, if Oklahoma goes and blows out Baylor, that'll make for a very interesting discussion. It's, you know, I'm not one who, I mean, I think Ohio State's in. I think it would take basically Minnesota or Wisconsin to blow them out for for Ohio State to be in jeopardy. But Ohio State still has a lot to prove. They want to be the number one seed because what you really want is to avoid Clemson in the semifinal. Clemson really doesn't have the schedule that will enable them to be the number one seed. So you want to avoid having to play them. They're really good. And they just haven't been tested because the ACC is so down this year.
Bill, do you have a preference? You know, because the number one seed, assuming Ohio State gets it, gets to choose the location. You have the Fiesta Bowl out in Phoenix. You have the Peach Bowl in Atlanta, Georgia. You know, there's been a lot tossed around and based upon opponent a little bit. But, I mean, do you have an idea of where you think would be best, this Ohio State fan base would be best represented?
Well, selfishly, I'd rather go to Phoenix than Atlanta, but that's just me. I think that Ohio State would want to avoid playing in front of the other team's home fan base. So Ohio State's got a huge fan base in Arizona, as it does most places. I think Ohio State would be fine playing one of the southern teams in Phoenix. Now, if it were Utah, might be a little different situation. They might prefer Atlanta because, obviously, Utah's farther from Atlanta than it is from Arizona. I don't think it makes that much of a difference, honestly. I think it's more just I think the number one thing for Ohio State, if you're looking at what gives them the best chance to be the national champion, avoid Clemson in the semifinals.
Bill, we'll give you a wrap-up here. Is there anything different, or what's the biggest difference in round two against Wisconsin than the first game, in your opinion?
Well, I think the conditions actually favor Ohio State this time. It was played in the rain last time. Ohio State's got a much more multidimensional offense. The fact you don't have to worry about the conditions, it's indoors, I think that helps Ohio State. I think Ohio State kind of has more cards in their deck than Wisconsin does. So I think that Wisconsin actually is a little more varied than people give them credit for. It's not just Jonathan Taylor. I think Cones can make plays. He's more than just their typical caretaker quarterback. And they've got some good receivers. Quinn Cephas is very good. But I still think across the board, Ohio State is more talented. I don't think there's any question about that. And the fact that they're healthy now, having Wade back helps them. I just think that Ohio State's a tough matchup for Wisconsin. And, they're a good team. They're a solid team. But it's a team of mainly three-star guys. With some four-star, in Taylor's case, he's a five-star player, obviously. But I think Ohio State across the board is just too talented for Wisconsin.
Well done, buddy. Glad to have you back on the show. We'll see you over in Indy.
Sounds great. Thanks for having me on.